the third chapter. I want to begin at verse 16, read a couple of verses there. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I wonder if you'd help me pray today that God will have his way in the remainder of the service. God, we're trusting you. We've come to church today to hear from you. We've come to hear you talk to our hearts, God. Oh, God, I pray that you will help us today to receive what you have for us. Open our hearts, our minds, our understanding to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Let your anointing flow, I pray, in Jesus' name. You know, people are slowly but surely moving away from flipping through user manuals for their appliances. Isn't that something? We find used to be in the old days, you had a user's manual. When you got a new whatever, a microwave, anything, you'd open up the user manual, and you would read through it and understand how to operate it. But people are getting away from that. In a survey of more than 1,000 Americans, only half of those surveyed looked at the bundled user manual that came with it to understand their device or to try and get to the root of an issue. The survey showed that 8 out of 10 people under the age of 45 turned to either Google or YouTube first before opening the manual. Amen. I have a feeling that some people here are identifying with that. Meaning that physical manuals, paper manuals, are becoming less of a first choice and more of a backup. If all else fails, I'll pull out the instructions and read them. Gaurav Chandra, he's the chief technical officer of the LGBTQ+ social network, As You Are. How many know that the Bible does not condone LGBTQ+? Amen. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. But this individual, he reasons that the impetus for the eventual demise or going away of user manuals will be that they aren't intuitive enough. Now, the word intuitive, according to the Cambridge Dictionary, means based on feelings rather than on facts or proof. So he reasons that the going away of user manuals will be that they are not based enough on feelings instead of facts or proof. He also says, in today's time of instant noodles and 10-minute delivery, people don't like to wait. They don't like to put in a lot of effort to go through a user manual. Instructional videos offer people the advantage of skipping to the end. Whereas with a user manual, you have to put in a lot more effort reading through it, flipping through it to the appropriate page or the section. And then you have to hope that you followed the instructions completely. It just takes a lot of time, the man says. Here are 7 of the most popular excuses and explanations, let me just give you 6, of the most popular excuses and explanations of why people don't read the instruction manual. See if you fall in one of these. We don't have time. When we're buying or signing up for something, it's often just spur of the moment when we buy it, and it's based upon an immediate need. You don't have time to read the new lawnmower's manual when the grass is 8 inches high and it's expected to rain tomorrow. You just got to get out there and get it done. Number 2, we're lazy. Who needs to read directions on something as simple as a lawnmower? You just put gas in it, you prime it, you pull the cord, you're good to go. What could be so hard about that? How about this one? We already know everything. If you've done something before, or you've read about it in the past, it's pretty much an insult to your intelligence to have to stop and read the instructions. Sometimes we just think common sense is enough. You put chains back on bicycles and you put together bed frames. How hard could it be to put together that playground set? Well, that's why there's so many emergency rooms available for us, is that we don't always read the instructions. Here's another one. Another reason why people don't read the manual. Manuals are boring. They're hard to understand. User manuals, they're designed to include all kinds of information to cover all the bases, which make the manuals very long. Therefore, manuals are often hard to understand, they're very tedious, and they're boring to read. Another reason, we would like to rather just find an easier alternative. We'd rather listen to friends or family or coworkers or influencers on Instagram to tell us what to do, or watch a video or listen to a podcast to tell us, or maybe read a secularly theological ebook on Amazon's bestseller list that's going to tell me how I need to get through life. We will go to whatever alternative tools there might be available to figure it out, so long as we don't need to read the user manual. I don't have time. Surely common sense will get me through. Surely I already know everything I need to know. And besides, it's boring and it's hard to understand. And I think I'll just find an easier, way. I'll just sit down on the couch and I'll grab the clicker and I'll lean way back and slouch down in my pajamas. And on Sunday morning, to get rid of the guilt for not spending any time with God lately, I'll click and I'll find a TV preacher that can sit and talk to me, pretty music, talk to me. At the end, he tells me that everybody's okay as long as you just confess you're a sinner and Jesus is Christ. And so I'll do that in my living room, and then I can go on being who I am. Well, we always are looking for easier ways. If you're going to go around, if you're going to go into Walmart and you could go straight up, you get out of your vehicle, you could walk straight up towards the building till you get past all the cars, and then you could turn and you could go up to the side and you could walk down a little ways to the door. We don't do that. Here's how it is when we park out there. We zigzag through these cars, and then we zigzag here, and then we zigzag, and we're zigzagging through all the cars. Why? Because we've got to save a few steps. That's just the way we are. As humans, we're always trying to look for shortcuts. I mentioned it before. If you get the little frozen dinner, and it gives you three options. You can put it in the air fryer. Takes you 20 minutes. Heat up the oven for 10 minutes and put it on 350 and then stick it in there for a while. Well, that takes forever. Or you can put it in the microwave for 3.5 minutes, flip it over, and then another 2.5 minutes, let it cool for a minute, and then you can eat it. And you and I are like, yes, give me the microwave. I don't know how it is for you, but when I put something in the microwave and I press, you know, like 1.5 minutes or 2 minutes or whatever I can put in there, and I start doing, if I stand there and watch it, doesn't it seem like the microwave goes slower when you watch it? It's almost like it's laughing at you, saying, I'm just going to move slower and slower because you're not, you're in a hurry. It's just, we just have got a lot going on, and we just really don't want to listen and read through the hard way. A recent poll confirms that most Americans do not believe in an absolute difference between right and wrong. The findings reflect ongoing sociocultural and political trends toward an emerging non-traditional moral order in America. in which people no longer care about what's true or false. So what if the politician's lying to me? As long as they're sending me money, I don't really care if he's lying to me. I don't care if he's selling us down the road to a foreign country and someday they're going to come in and my children will be prisoners. I don't really care. Just keep giving me the money. Just keep making things easy. Keep the electricity on. Make life good for me and leave me alone and let me do what I want to do, because that's all that matters. The findings reflect from this poll, they reflect that people just don't care anymore about what's true or false. Increased skepticism about people's truthfulness in relationships. That's where people that are in a relationship, they're getting a little bit untrusting of what the other person is saying whenever they say, no, I'm really, really not messing around on you. I'm really, really, really not going out with my buddies and drinking alcohol. I'm working late. I'm really, really, really not going and hanging out with somebody down the street doing drugs and getting drugs. No. Well, people are getting increasingly skeptical, and they're not real sure if the person in the relationship with them is really telling the truth. And so because of this increased skepticism about people's truthfulness in relationships, it makes long-term commitments, especially marriage, an increasingly more difficult option for Americans to choose. Why? Because I don't trust anybody, so I want to leave the exit door open. That's the society that we live in. We all wrestle with this. We don't want to go and sign a contract for a house to live in and be on the hook for it if we think we might move in 30 days or 60 or 90 days. We don't want a one-year lease. We're not real sure if we want to do this or not. This survey also reported that 39% of those that took the poll said, human life has no intrinsic value. It's no wonder that abortions are on the rise today. 29% in this poll expressed their commitment to getting even with those who wrong them instead of forgiving them. And 28% said that they treat other people based on their current feelings and circumstances. So I'll treat you nice. I'll do you right as long as I am in a good place. But if life's happening to me and things aren't going good in my life and I'm not a very happy person right there, you're not going to be a happy person either. I'm going to make sure of it. I'm not going to treat you right when I'm feeling wrong. It's a change that we have seen in our culture that has turned us into a me generation. I know what's best for my life. Don't tell me any absolutes. Don't tell me that this is wrong and that this is right, and that if I choose this, I'm wrong. Don't tell me that. I simply want to make my own choices, my own decisions, and I know what's best for me. That's the culture that we live in. I want to talk to you just for a little bit about this subject. Life's user manual. Life's user manual. You know, in John chapter 17 and verse 17, the Bible says, Jesus speaking these words, he's in prayer. His flesh, his humanity is in prayer to the Father. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 in the New Living Translation says this: all scripture, now when we say scripture, we're talking about this, not just one scripture. You know, I just wonder if you're like I am. Now, I'm human. And what I'd really like to do, what my flesh would like to do, is go through this Bible and pick out all the scriptures I like and put them in a separate binder. And then all the scriptures that step on my toes, tell me I need to change, that require something out of me, I'd like to just put those aside and not deal with it. I just want to pull out all the scriptures that I like. Anybody ever been like that? That's my flesh. That's my humanity. But when the Bible is talking about the scripture or the scriptures, it's talking about the whole Bible. And so we read, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful. Now, what's it useful for? Just on a Sunday to patty cake me on the back and tell me that I'm doing good because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'll tell you, I think that's a wonderful verse. I love that verse. But that's not the only verse in the Bible. The Bible talks about separating ourselves from this world. I don't like that verse too well. My flesh loves that part about Jesus loves me so much that he would die for me and no matter how bad I am. And can I tell you, that is the truth. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you have committed adultery and then murdered the husband to cover up your adultery. You know that King David in the Bible, you know that one that killed the giant? That's what he did. He committed adultery and then he murdered her husband to cover it up. And yet, if you have been in Sunday school at all in your life, one of my favorite stories growing up was David the Giant, because that same man, back when he was younger, he went out and he slew a giant when the rest of the church, if you will, the rest of the army was afraid of the giant. And David said, I'll go kill him because I've got a relationship with my God. But that same David, he messed up later. And can I say that you and I, we mess up in life. We have problems. Now we got to be so careful. Schools are having to change to where you can't, you know, you can't tell little Johnny or little Sally. You can't tell them that they're doing it wrong and that they're getting the work wrong. You just have to tell them that, well, I guess that's a different way of doing it. I guess maybe 2 + 2, it might equal 5, maybe. Well, let me see. Well, little Sally, I don't want to hurt your feelings, so we'll just say that you're okay with 2 + 2 = 5, and we'll let you have that answer, and we'll just pass you with the class. That's kind of a simplistic example. That's how it's going. But can I say that you and I, in today's world, well, let me just say it this way. I don't like it when people look me in the face and put their finger on my nose, so to speak, you know, a preacher, when he's preaching, and I'm like, boy, he's getting down my alley. Ooh, this is uncomfortable. I don't like it. And when it happens, as it does, I don't like it. My flesh doesn't like it. But you know what we need to do? We need to decide as adults whether we're going to grow up and stop getting our feelings hurt every time that a preacher preaches out of the Bible and we don't like it. Oh, I'm going to go find me another church where they patty cake it and make it easy to swallow. No. If the doctor gives you some pills that you need, some antibiotics to get over disease, and you don't like the taste of the pills, they're too big, they get caught in your throat, what do? Do you go back to the doctor and say, doctor, give me some little tiny pills, I can't take it? No. You know what we do? We just pull it together and we grit our teeth and we swallow the medicine that's good for us. And you and I need to get some thicker skin about us. We need to wake up one day and look in the mirror and say, I'm sick and tired of listening to the devil push me around. I'm tired of it. I want to be free, and I'm going to listen to what God tells me to do. And when the preacher starts preaching and it gets down my aisle and I don't like it, instead of getting my feelings hurt, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray and I'm going to say, God, I've messed up. I've really messed up. I've done some really bad things in my life, and I wish I could change it, wish I could do it over, and I'm caught in this hamster wheel. I just can't get life to stop going. I feel like I'm in a clothes dryer, and it just keeps on going, and I wish it would stop, but I don't know how to get out. And the preacher starts talking about the way to get out, and he reads from the user manual of life. And that right there just like we're sitting in here today. Those moments when life's user manual is opened up and the preacher begins to talk. Why? Because he's smart and he's got it all figured out? No! If he's an anointed man of God, God's been talking to him. He's been on his face in prayer for a day or two saying, God, I'm going to be talking to some people there that need to hear from you. They don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from you. And I need you to anoint me to be able to rightly divide your word and help somebody. And when we get in these moments like we're in and the preacher begins to preach out of life's user manual, we have a choice. We can reject it and say, no, I'm going to stay on the hamster wheel of life. I'm not going to make any changes. Or we can say, you know what? It's not working. Everything I've tried is failing. Maybe I need to make some changes. You see, the Bible, it contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. And practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map. Or could I say GPS, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter or goal, or map how to get there. Here, heaven is opened and the gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. Our good is its design, and the glory of God is its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, health to the soul, and a river of pleasure. It is given to you here in this life, the Bible is, and it will be opened at the judgment and established forever. It involves the highest responsibility. It will reward the greatest labor and condemn all who trifle with its contents. The person that said that is unknown, but I think that is very, very fitting. Colossians 3 and 16. Let me go back to 2 Timothy 3 and 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16, the New Living Translation. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. We're skeptical of our relationships. We're skeptical when the neighbor tells us something. We're skeptical when a family member says something. Do they really have my best interest, or are they saying it for some motive that is underhandedly? Why are people telling me what they're telling me? Are they telling me the truth? The Bible is useful to teach us what is true. You can count on the Bible being true. And it is to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Bible's not all just to come around and make us feel good. If the Bible always makes you feel good and never makes you feel uncomfortable and realize what's wrong in your lives, better check the Bible that you have. Something's wrong with either your Bible. You've got a Bible that was written really out there, or you translated really out there into some weird translation and twisted and turned. It's either that, or if you're listening to a preacher and he's only making you feel good and relieved and, well, I did my duty for this Sunday and now I can kind of go and keep on going on my life. If you're never shown what's wrong in your life that needs to be changed, if I were you, I'd get a new preacher. If you go to the doctor and he's always telling you that nothing's wrong with you, you're doing great, you're in great health, and week by week you get sicker and sicker and worse and worse, and you're getting close to dying, some point before you draw your latest breath, I'd probably switch doctors. Because that doctor is not doing you any good by not telling you what's wrong with you and how you need to change. And it's no different with the Bible. God help me. Give me voices in my life that's going to encourage me. Don't just, you know, I like to be beat over with a stick all day long. But God, as you are encouraging me in your word and telling me I can make it, as the voices that you are using to divide your word and show it to me, as they are telling me that I can get out of my problems and I can leave my old ways and I can be an overcomer and victorious and be happy again, as it's telling me all that, don't forget, Lord, please show me where I need to change to, because I don't want to be the same when I get to judgment as I was when I started this journey. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Now, if you live at your address and you dwell there, it means that you're not there for 4 hours and move on. If you're dwelling at your house where you live, wherever that might be, I don't care if it's a hotel, if it's a mansion, I don't care if it's a friend, I don't care if it's family, I don't care if it's your own, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are living, you are dwelling there. It's resident. It sticks there. You are sticking there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Not just in one ear and out the other. You know, hopefully we've got enough of that brain power up there, you know, all those brains there. Hopefully that if it goes in one ear, at least it's got quite the maze to get back out. Hopefully we're not so empty-headed it just goes in one ear and right out the other. Oh, God, help us. Let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Peter 1:24, the ESV says this, for all flesh is like grass, and its glory, all its glory, like the flower of the grass. Anybody ever seen a beautiful lawn? You ever gone and you drive in the Ritchie neighborhood and you go down the streets and you look at the lawns and the flower beds and everything is beautiful? And you're saying, my, look how beautiful that grass is. It's perfect. Wish I could just go out there, take my shoes and socks off, and walk along and let my toes squeeze the blades of grass. I wish I could spread a blanket and get me a picnic lunch and just lay out there on the grass. And then after that, I wish I could just lay back and take a nap because that grass looks so soft and beautiful. All flesh, that's you and me, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. The word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Preach to me, preacher. I want to hear the good news of the Lord. I want to hear the good news. Preach to me, preacher. Ephesians 1:13, the ESV says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth. Isn't it wonderful that we can put our confidence in this is the truth? It doesn't matter what somebody else, how they lie to you. This Bible is the truth. This is the word of truth. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank and cash it. It is the truth. It's the gospel of your salvation. You believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the ESV says, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, not just that preacher's stinking thinking, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. We read it at the beginning, Ecclesiastes 3:16. I want to read it again. And moreover, I saw, this is the wise man that is speaking here in this setting. He says, and moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, or the place where a verdict is pronounced, or a sentence is given. for the crime or the act that's committed. That's the place of judgment. Moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness, which is wrongdoing, sin, or immorality, that wickedness was there in the place of judgment, in the place where there's sentences coming out against immorality. Wickedness was there. And the place of righteousness, or a place where that which is natural, moral, or legal exists, that in the place of righteousness, that iniquity, it's that same root word, resha, that's the same root word as wickedness that we just read in the previous sentence, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. You and I aren't going to get out of it. I don't care how wicked we are or how righteous we are. We're going to be judged by God. We're going to be judged by God. We are going to one day be judged by God. For there is a time for every purpose or matter or pleasure or desire. There's a time for every purpose and for every work or action or activity, whether it's good or bad. There's going to be a time for every purpose and for every work. Judgment day is coming. Revelations 20 and 11. And I saw, this is John, the revelator, that is writing down what he saw in a vision. He said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You see, it's not over once they put us down into the ground or they cremate us. It's not over. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Not according to whether God's mean, not according to whether they had money or they were poor, not according to if their family was some political, not according to their color, not according to their education, not according to their personality, no, according to their works. Did they do the right things or did they do the wrong things? And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, that's every man, woman, boy, or girl that's ever lived on this earth that understands and has an understanding to choose salvation or reject it, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose or matter or pleasure or desire under the heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get or seek or search for and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend or tear or rip apart and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. As I close, as I get ready to close, I want to say, I know this is sobering, it's a convicting message. The Lord laid it on my heart. As I began to study, as I began to try to follow the mind of God, I prayed several times, and I feel like that God has led me in this direction. And I know it's a sobering direction, but I feel like that there's somebody that needs to hear this today. And as I get ready to close, I just want to say that I'm thankful that God has allowed me the time, that thing that we have until we take our latest breath. Once we take our last breath, there's no more time. But I'm thankful that God has given me the time to come to His house today. How about you? Is every head bowed, every eye is closed? Are you thankful that God gave you the time and the breath to come to His house today and hear from Life's User Manual, His Word? You know, in the United States, they've done statistics. They track different things. One of them that they have is called a death clock. The United States has a death clock. It's the number of deaths in the United States within a period of time. The number of deaths per hour in the United States is 323 deaths. Already today, since the clock struck midnight, there's been 4,500 people in the United States that are now dead, that 12 hours ago they were alive. But in the last, since midnight, over 4,500 people have gone on to meet their maker. There's over 7,755 deaths in a day in the United States. Over 2,800,000 in a year. A person dies approximately every 11 seconds. Somebody died. Somebody else just died in the United States. Another one just died in the United States. And another one. Is it our turn? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm healthy enough. Yeah, but there's people that are going to be in their cars today, traveling. Somebody is going to go out in an accident. Somebody's no doubt going to take a bullet. Somebody somewhere is going to choke on some food and not be able to get their breath. Somebody's going to have a heart attack. Somebody's going to just be sitting there and everything seems fine, and they just keel over. Somebody else is going to look at somebody wrong on the road, and it's going to turn into road rage and end up in death. Somebody's going to overdose on drugs today. Somebody is going to die in an alcoholic state of horror. Somebody's gonna die in the next 11 seconds just in the United States. These altars are open right now. I wonder if there's somebody that says, you know what? I've not been doing it according to Life's user manual. I thought I had it myself. I thought I knew how. I've been doing it, everything I know, but it's not working. Preacher, I'm ready to come down and talk to God today. There's chairs up at the front if you'd like to kneel in these chairs, if you'd like to stand, whatever you'd like to do. I just want to invite you to come and spend some time talking to God, because one of these days, one of these minutes, one of these seconds, it's going to be over and it's going to be too late. And there's not going to be an opportunity to change. God's been merciful to bring us here today. I wonder if there's somebody that will seek Him with all of your heart. Today, I want a change in my life today. Oh, is there somebody else that will come?
For above all else, I must be saved. Above whatever you have to do. Saved for life really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. In your life, you'll never be the same. There is only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch Him. Just believe. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. Just believe when you call on His name.
One of these days, we stand in front of Him, and He looks us in the eye, and we can't get away. We can't go hide. We can't run and get our fix or our escape or our distraction or a deterrent to facing the truth. We can't get away. It's too late. We stand in front of Him and He says, how come you didn't read the user manual that I left for you, for your life? We're not going to be able to say, well, I didn't have time. Or, well, I just thought I already knew everything in there. It's just, living for God's just common sense, right? God, but God, don't you understand? It wasn't easy. In fact, I tried to read the Bible one time, but Lord, it was just hard to understand, and quite honestly, it was kind of boring because it wasn't fun, it wasn't exciting and stimulating. theater, like the Netflix. It wasn't exciting and getting my emotions going like the soap operas do and like the YouTube videos do. It was boring, Lord, and I just didn't have a lot of time. And so I just figured I would just kind of, you know, find a few people that talk about Jesus and kind of make me feel good, and I figured that was going to be good enough. But he's going to look at many people. They're going to be speechless. There's nothing they can say. All the excuses that they had in this life won't work there. And now he says, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. But can I tell you what the other side of that is about? Some people are going to stand in front of him, and he's going to look at them and say, you did it right. You didn't do everything right. In fact, you messed up so much I had to forgive you all the time. You were constantly messing up, but you were repentant. You were quick to ask forgiveness. And you were like clay in the potter's hand. You let me begin to fashion you into something that I could use. You studied and read and tried to figure out what my word said, because you wanted to please me. You wanted to be what I wanted you to be. And so you were pursuing that. And I watched you as you begin to mature into a stronger and stronger Christian. And now today, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Oh, won't that be a day? Won't that be a day? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder?
Won't we have a time
when we get over yonder?
Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Oh, won't we have a time? Oh, won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Everybody will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Yes, everybody will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. And there's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the Savior shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Yes, everybody will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Yes, everybody will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. And we will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Yes, everybody will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. There we'll meet the one kept us by his grace, and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Yes, everybody will be happy. Everybody will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will happy over there. And oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let cares all past, all my last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, all my last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, all my last, ever to rejoice. And as I journey through the land, singing as I go, souls to Calvary, to the crimson floor. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, and through him I must win. So, oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Hallelujah! 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy is the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And give all diligence. Give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. That means make sure that you do whatever it takes to be saved. it's going to be worth it all someday. Someday it's going to be worth it all. Someday it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth telling the devil no. It's going to be worth letting go of some friends. It's going to be worth letting go of some habits. It's going to be worth turning your back on the pleasures of this world. Amen. It's going to be worth it all. One of these days. One of these days. One of these days. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, oh, what a spirit that I feel here today. Hallelujah. What a powerful spirit of the Holy Ghost that's moving in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, somebody could get the Holy Ghost right now in this place. Somebody that's repentant said, I don't want that way anymore. I want to turn around and go the other way. Somebody could get the Holy Ghost right now in this place. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be worth it all. Look at him and say, one of these days, the ship is going to sail. And are you going to be on it? Are you going to be on the ship? That old ship of Zion. When it leaves this old world. When we say goodbye, world, goodbye. Are you going to be on the ship? Oh, are you going to be on the ship when we say goodbye to this old world? Are you going to be on the ship?
Thank you.
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you're able. You're able, God. You're able. You're able, God. You're able. La masada. I wonder if we could just lift our hands right now. Begin to thank him for his presence. The Lord is here in this place. He loves us. He reaches for us. He cares for us. He wants good for us and not evil. Oh, can you just love him right now? I love you, God. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love towards us. Thank you for the hope that we have in you, God. Thank you for making a way for us. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Truly, God is in this place. Every bit as much in this place as he was when Jacob woke up from his dream and said, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. The Lord is in this place. And when the Lord is in this place, we shouldn't take it lightly. We shouldn't just shake it off and be nonchalant about it. Because we're standing in the presence of the King, Almighty God. He has the power to heal. He has the power to destroy. He has the power to save. He has the power to create. He has the power to wipe out everything. But he's a merciful God, and he loves us. And he withholds his judgment to give us as much time as he can. But there comes a day when time is, the clock has run out.